Well, thanks to George for his warm welcome to me, and it's nice to be back again in Kilkeel. It's like an annual visit, like a 12th of July nearly, isn't it? But it's good to be here and good to be sharing with you as well. Always, down through the years, thoroughly enjoyed coming here as well, and it's good to be back again. If you have a Bible there handy, I'm going to be looking at those verses in Matthew chapter 5. 13 there to 16. But let me pray with you for a moment. Father, we humble ourselves before you again and acknowledge again that we desperately need your help and your enabling to be able to understand what we're doing here, and for people to understand as well. We need God just to come and open our hearts and speak into your lives and just bring the reality of this to us all. We pray in Jesus' precious name now. Amen. A couple of weeks ago, in the Daily Telegraph, I don't know whether you buy it or not, there was a headline in it, and it said this. It said that the most toxic thing in Britain today was to say that you were a Christian. That's the headline. That the most toxic thing in Britain today was to say that you were a Christian. It was all right to say that you were a Muslim or a Hindu, and it was even all right to say that you were an atheist, didn't believe in God. But in a society that calls for toleration, it seems that the one thing that they will not tolerate is anyone saying that they're a Christian, or anyone suggesting that Jesus is the only way. That's really what it boils down to. That it's okay to say that there are many ways or different ways. But when you nail it down and say that Jesus is the only way, that will not be tolerated. In recent weeks again too, we have seen Tim Farron hounded out of the Liberal Democrats because of his Christian views on gay marriage or gay relationships. We see here in our own country Sinn Féin's demand for what they call an all-inclusive society, which means gay marriage and abortion on demand. That's what it means. And could I say it's not just Sinn Féin. It's all the political parties in England and Scotland and Wales. I'm all going down the same line. The new Taoiseach in Ireland is openly gay. Not ashamed to say that, and he's embraced by all. Nobody sees anything wrong with it at all. And the rainbow flag was flying yesterday from Westminster Palace, gay parade in London. And again, the House of Commons was lit up in the rainbow colours. They tell us in the news that there were 1 million people at that parade in London yesterday. And in reality, let me say this to you, in reality, it's an attack on Christian values. It's an attack on the church. And what we really see is that the people who are wanting these things, they couldn't care less about gay people. They couldn't care less about them. It's just a point that they want to get home that would be against the gospel and against the church. And what we see really is a nation in turmoil. That's what we're seeing at the present time. And there is a concerted effort to make God an irrelevance. It's happening in our schools and in our universities. And as you see the government there in turmoil and all the different things that are happening there, no one yet ever mentions God. Nobody in government mentions God or ever mentions the need to pray, that we should pray, or that we should turn our hearts towards God. And amazing. We never hear that mentioned ever on the news. Nobody ever says that, ever talks about that. And people, young and old, no longer take their values from the Bible. They take them from soap operas or from the cinema. That's where they come from. And what we see an increase in the number of people who are cohabiting, and the number of people who are dependent on drugs, whether prescribed or otherwise, or on alcohol. And we read these verses in Romans chapter 1 and verse 18. Let me read this to you, and it says this, that the wrath of God is being revealed from heaven against all the godlessness and wickedness of men who suppress the truth by their wickedness. That's in Romans chapter 1 there in verse 18. And because of this wickedness and because of this denial of God, and we read three times in Romans there, in verses 24 and 26 and 28, let me read them to you. Therefore God gave them over to the sinful desires of their hearts, to sexual impurity for the degrading of their bodies with one another. Verse 26. Because of this God gave them over to shameful lusts, even their women exchanged natural relations for unnatural ones. And verse 28. Furthermore, since they did not think it worthwhile to retain the knowledge of God, he gave them over to a depraved mind to do what ought not to be done. And I believe with all my heart that's what we're seeing today all around us. We're seeing a nation that's been given over to these things. You know, I'm just mentioning this in passing as well. We just think of the things that have happened recently. We think of the Brexit vote. Nobody ever expected that to happen. Nobody ever expected Theresa May to return to Westminster with a reduced majority. Nobody believed that. Nobody believed that Donald Trump would ever become president of America. Nobody ever believed that. And we would never have believed the rise in nationalism in Ireland and Ulster. And yet it almost seems that we've been given over. That God is doing something here in it all. I see the devastation of all this is, by the way, in my work in Newry. I'll talk about a bit more about that tonight. But you see it so plainly and so blatantly. But in spite of all this that we're seeing here, in spite of it all, as God's people, we are called to be salt and light in this world. You know, but let me say this to you. We all know that. Boy, this is not news to anybody here this morning. We already know this. We've known this from their very earliest Christian days. Now, we have been called to be salt and light in this world. And I tell you, it's a challenge when you boil it all down and have a look at it. And it's not easy, and I'm saying this as well. And it's not easy to stay going when you see the falling away all around us. It almost seems that we get sucked into it as well, and we seem to be going down with everybody else. Not easy to stay going, and I understand that. But at the same time, I believe this with all my heart. I believe it's an exciting time to be a Christian. I believe that it's a real exciting time to be a Christian. And there is a falling away, and especially from the churches at the moment. And we can see that. And especially from churches where the Bible is being soundly taught. We see people drifting away, and it seems that they go to where there's more louder music and where there's less prominence on the Bible. That's where they seem to drift to. A friend of mine was telling me that he has a big church in Belfast, and I'm friendly with this fella. And he told me this now. He said, and he was the pastor of it. He said, you know, we have to keep continually changing the format of the service. And the reason why we do it is because people will come in for the singing. And when the singing is finished, they'll get up and walk out. They don't want to stay for the Bible, for the sermon. And so what we do is we have to change it around. We have the sermon first some Sundays to try to catch them. But they get up and walk out when the Bible is being preached. And you see, we have an opportunity to make a difference. And we need to be able to see the bigger picture in all these things. That this really is not about Tim Farron or Sinn Féin or the DUP. And it's not about Theresa May, and it's not about Jeremy Corbyn, it's not about them. This is about the God of heaven against the devil and against the works of darkness, and we need to be able to see that. And friends, let me tell you that we need to be clear this morning as to which side we're on. Could I say that to you? We need to be clear now. Which side we're on here? Who are we standing for in this whole business? Need to understand that. And Jesus gives us these two pictures. In Matthew chapter 5, verses 13 to 16, you are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. And we know that in Jesus' day that the salt had two functions. It was there to stop decay or corruption, if you like. And it was there to bring flavor to the food that people were eating. And see, that's the effect that we should have on a decaying world. We should be having that effect on the world around us. And it's common sense to say that salt has to be applied to be of any value or to be of any use. I mean, we need to be aware that this is our function, to be salt in this corrupt world. And look to this, if you can keep this in mind, I'll tell you what it'll do. It'll get you reading the Bible again. And it'll get you praying again, if you can keep this in mind. And again, you know, as Christians, we should seek to promote all that's good in society. It's not just against everything, but we should seek to promote those things that are good, if you like, add flavor to it. If we can do that. But at the same time, we should oppose those things in society that we see as corrupt. Not being afraid to speak out when we see things that are wrong, when we see things that are not right, that we should not be afraid to be different. And it's not easy. And I'm saying that to you this morning. Not always easy, but it's worthwhile. I'm telling you this story. Before I came into the Irish Mission way back a good number of years ago, I was a plumber and I had work. I did work for the army, and did Thiefold Barracks, and I did work in Armagh and all around that whole area. And I was very small time, and my work was nearly just maintenance work in it, and I didn't really count for very much in it now. But one particular time, they called a big meeting of all the builders in there and all the people from the DOE and all the heads of WIT were all called. And I was called along with them. I didn't even know why I was there, I didn't know that, but I was called anyway. And what we did, we started off at the gates at Thiefold Barracks in Lisburn, and we walked around all the whole complex, and they said this, and we're talking about what needed done, and this needed done, and everything else. And I was just walking along with a crowd now, I tell you. And then in the middle of it all, this fella said, I have a joke to tell you. And I knew right away, I'm standing there and I knew right away, this is, what am I going to do here? And I said to him, and I tell you, he looked at me as if I had two heads on me. I said to him, tell me, is this a dirty joke? And they all looked at me as if to say, well, what other sort of jokes are there? And this fella, he said to me, yeah, it is. And I said to him, well, if you don't mind, I said to him, I won't listen to it. I tell you, my heart was beating like mad, you know that. And I could have crawled into a hole in the ground, but I said it anyway. And I walked away. And they told the joke, and I don't know what way it went or anything else, but they caught up with me again. Nobody spoke to me, and I was ostracized from that time on, and I was glad to see the whole thing over and get away. But later on in the day, I got a message from the head man in the DOE to come to his office. And of course, I went there preparing to that my contract was finished. I was out through the door, but I was prepared for that. When I went in, he brought me in. He said, "Sit down, Billy." And he said to me, "What about that? What about this morning?" He said to me. And of course, I pretended I was stupid. I said, "What about this morning?" And he said, "About the joke." He said to me, "Why would you not listen to it?" And I said, "What I said to him." I said to him, I've got two wee boys, I said to him. Two wee nippers. And I said, I wouldn't listen to anything that I wouldn't want them to listen to. I wouldn't do that now. And I said, I'm a Christian. And I said, I wouldn't do it. And I'll tell you, he got up and he came round. And he nearly got down on his knees before me, apologizing to me. He said, I'm really, really sorry. I'm really deeply sorry, Billy, that it happened. And he said, I'll give you my word that it'll never happen again when I'm there. I tell you, I was so glad I spoke up. Do you know that? At the time, I wasn't glad. At the time, I felt awful. But I tell you, I was so glad I spoke up. That there were 30-odd men, I know, and I don't know how they took it all. Maybe they were angry at it or whatever they were. But at least it was salt. It was a little bit of salt. That's what it was. And we're not saying it's easy, but I tell you, it's something that we need to do. And then again, in verse 14, Jesus says, you are the light of the world. And see, what we need to keep in mind this morning, friends, is this is a world in absolute darkness, spiritual darkness. Need you understand that? And that this darkness is so deep, that it's so deep, that people have no idea where they're going. Just no idea whatsoever. It's just so deep. Groping around in the darkness. That's how our world is. Just groping around and no glimmer of hope of where they're going. And no idea where they're going. Let me say this to you. Not momentarily lost, but utterly lost. Absolutely, utterly lost in it all. Maybe you're here this morning and you're not a Christian in the true sense of that word now. Now listen to me. Because this is important now. In the true sense of that word, you're not a Christian. And maybe you take some comfort from the fact that you come to church. Maybe you take some comfort from the fact that you come here regularly. Or maybe irregularly, but you come. And maybe you think that by coming to church and being decent, it's going to merit you something somewhere down the line. It's going to merit you something. And maybe you're thinking to yourself right now, that cannot be as bad as he's making it out to be. It can't be as bad as that. I tell you this morning that you're as lost as the lads that are swinging through the trees in Papua New Guinea. Do you know that? Absolutely lost. Need to understand that. Coming to church, but not saved, utterly lost. Boy, what an awful place to be. What an awful position to be in this whole situation. You see, we live in a world full of religion. And let me tell you what religion does. It only compounds the problem. Only compounds it all. Now my eyes can see. I was lost, but Jesus sought and found me. You see, the gospel has to shine in some way, or you'll remain there. Now let me explain this for a moment, because it's important to you. Sometimes when the light shines in, people have a bad reaction to it. You know that? They have. And here's the reason why. Let me read this to you. This is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but men love darkness instead of the light because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that his deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light so that it may be seen plainly that what he has been done through God. Sometimes you tell people the gospel, try to explain to them and the good news of the gospel, they get extremely angry. They get really mad. I remember after I was converted, I had an old aunt and I tried to witness to her. Boy, she got so angry with me. Never really spoke to me after it. Little bit of light shining in. And let me say this to you as well. That's a good thing, by the way. Don't be thinking it's a bad thing. It's not a bad thing. It's a good thing. Because at least the light's shining. It's worse when people have no interest at all and just switch off and they don't want to say anything at all. But there will be little bits of light that will shine in. There will be response to it. And you know, let me just tell you this. I was working in Uri there just three weeks ago. I knocked the door and this man came out and he started talking to him about the gospel. And he said to me, "You were here before one time." And I was around that way before, but I couldn't remember him now. And he said to me, "Come on in." And he brought me in, and I went in there, and his wife was sitting there, and she's not well. And she said to me, when I saw her, I remembered being there. For she was a Christian. And she said, "I'm a Christian." I said, "I remember being here before." But she said, "He's not, husband." And I said to him, "Where do you think you'll go when you die?" And he looked up at me and he said, "I hope I'll go to heaven when I die." And I'll tell you what I said to him. I said to him, "That's the stupidest thing I've ever heard," I said to him. And he looked up at me and he said, "What do you mean it's stupid? What do you mean?" I said, "Well, you would never go through the door there and say to somebody, 'Well, I hope I'm going to the shop. Or I hope I'm going to work, or I hope I'm going to see my friends.' You would never say that to anybody. But you would know where you're going. You'd say, 'I'm going to the shop, I'm going to see my friends, I'm going to work.'" And he said to me, "I never thought about that before." And I said, "If you don't know where you're going," I said, "in this business here, you're lost," I said to him. And I said to him, and this man's a Catholic now, and I said to him, "Would you like to know where you're going to go before you die?" And he said, "Yes, I would." I said, "Would you want me to explain the gospel to you and tell you the story?" He said, "Yes, tell me." And I sat in the house there and explained to him why Jesus came and the reason why we need a Savior. And I said, "What are you going to do about that now?" And he said, I'm going to give my life to Jesus." And I tell you now, he's been at church the last two Sundays. God at work, a little bit of light shines in and makes all the difference in all the world when that happens. The light shines, by the way, when you tell out God's word. Could I say this to you today? Look, maybe we need to reevaluate what we're doing as Christians. Tell people the good news. Give your testimony. Tell people what God has done for you. See, the light shines when you tell out a little bit of God's word or tell out what God has done for you. That's how the light shines. Look, tell it simply. Tell it truthfully. Tell it for the glory of God alone. Do it that way. The wonderful thing is that when someone else becomes a Christian, another little light begins to shine. And that's what we need to see when someone else becomes a Christian. And see, Jesus makes an obvious statement here. In verse 14, he said, "A city set on a hill cannot be hid." That's common sense. If it's set on a hill, it's plain for everybody to see. There's a city. Look at it. Sitting on a hill. It's not covered in any way. And then in verse 15, he says that men don't light a candle and put it under a bowl. Look, if you did that, people would think you were cracked. You know that. Now, they would. Imagine having a light and sticking a bowl over the top of it. You wouldn't do it. Let your light shine. That's what he's saying here. Let your light shine before men so that people can see it clearly. Let me finish with this. Before I was saved, I was working, I told some of you this before, in Twinbrook, on a building site there. And there was a foreman working for Farns. And he used to come in and we used to have to get, we were on sort of price work there and you're working like mad because the more you work you've done, the more money you got. And that was the idea and you worked hard at it. And so we had to go to him to get stuff done and it wasn't getting done quick enough. We'd be a bit annoyed. And this man, he was a lovely man. And I remember one day being a bit annoyed with him. And he just stood there and looked at me, and I tell you, I felt ashamed of myself. Do you know that? Have you ever felt that before? When somebody just looks at you and you sort of feel ashamed. And I was down in Ballygowan there just about 3 weeks ago, speaking at a meeting in Ballygowan. And I met this man again. He's an old man now. Jim Gabby's his name. He's an elder there. Godly man. Didn't lose his temper, didn't raise his voice. But I'll tell you just the very fact that he was a Christian. It radiated from him. And made someone like me feel ashamed that I would behave in that particular way. And that's a wonderful thing. When you can see someone like that and find someone like that, it's a wonderful thing. Maybe some of you this morning have forgotten this whole idea that you're called to be salt and light in the world. You have forgotten that you have just got into bad habits and never think, but this is what God has meant me to be when I walk out through the door in the morning and go to work or go to school or wherever I'm going, that I'll have to be salt. Have to be light for people that are living in darkness. And we've forgotten it all. And so much around us trying to get our attention and calling out to us, trying to get our eyes off the Savior. Maybe God's speaking to you this morning that you need to stop and think this through again. And this week, remind yourself, if you're a Christian, that you're the salt of the earth and you're the light of the world. What a wonderful thing. Let me pray with you. Father, how we thank you again just for the simplicity of all this. Lord, so simple. And yet it's profound that, Lord, that people like us can make a difference in society. That we can go out there and we can be different. And we can make things different. That we can, Lord, be light for people that are in darkness. And Father, there's a whole world out there and it really is in darkness. Just full of lostness. Father, I want to pray very specially right now that God will come down by the power of his Holy Spirit. And Father, bless us and do us good. Thank you for that. And we ask all these things, Lord, giving you thanks for everything in Jesus' name. Amen.